This week, we'll discuss efforts to eliminate workplace discrimination with AFGE-GSA Local 2275 President John Garvey and the need to fully staff the Department of Veterans Affairs with VA Local 1988 Executive Vice President Geddes Scott. We'll also learn about the union's fight to save 22 jobs at the Columbia Basin Job Corps with AFGE District 11 National Fair Practices Coordinator Ivan Weick. But first, we've been joined by AFGE Council of Prison Locals President Eric Young. Eric, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Eric, as the new council president for the Council of Prison Locals, what are your top priorities going forward?
Well, my top priorities is to ensure that our staff are properly given the necessary equipment that they need to perform their fiduciary responsibilities for which they were hired to do, which is work around inmates and keep the community safe. We have numerous assaults that's been going on in the Bureau of Prisons. Actuality, I just found out last night from one of my regional vice presidents that we had an officer assaulted out in California where his tooth got knocked out. These are the things that are primarily my objective, which is to ensure the staff have the necessary resources to ensure that they are able to work in a safe environment, be able to go home to their families each evening, and also to acquire funding, the necessary funding, the proper funding for these employees as well, so they could perform their fiduciary responsibilities as well. We have a legislative event scheduled at the end of the month to go lobby Congress to get our necessary funding and also to bring in those families who've been killed in the line of duty, like Eric Williams' family up in Canaan. So we, you know, it's just so many things that I have outlined that I just really can't talk about in just a short period of time. But it's, we are moving forward. I just got elected last week, and we have big plans going forward over the next few months. To meet with the Bureau's director as well. I met with him yesterday briefly and to express to him my vision and how I believe the agency should move forth to protect the staff.
Eric, how did that conversation go with Bureau of Prisons Director Charles Samuels? Is he receptive to the concerns that you have on behalf of the workers in those facilities?
Yes, my conversation with him actually went quite well yesterday. I didn't expect it to go as well as I thought it would, but he was very receptive. He gave me many hours to speak with him and some of his assistant directors as well in the process. And but the conversation went very well. He was very receptive on the things we had to do together. As I indicated to him before, we are in an age of partnership ordered by the President of the United States, and it shouldn't be partners that don't see eye to eye on the things that we have to achieve on behalf of the employees who we all have a vested interest to ensure that they are able to go home to their families.
Sure, and that's the number one concern as I listen to you and I learn about the issues of Bureau of Prisons workers is to ensure the safety and security of not only the facility, but the workers inside the facility. Now, obviously, as you mentioned, there is a legislative effort here to get the resources that you need. Do you think that Congress is open-minded when learning about these issues that you all face?
I don't believe they are. Number one, they're trying to balance the U.S. government debt on the back of working-class Americans, particularly the people who I represent, which are federal middle-class workers. Presently, we have over 200,000 federal prison inmates incarcerated in Bureau of Prisons institutions across the land. And this is primarily because of the mandatory minimum prison sentence imposed by members of Congress in their stance to get in touch, get tough on crime when they were running for office. And once they get there, they actually forget what they actually impose, which are these laws that results in prison overcrowding. And they forget about the funding that is necessary to run safe prisons. And as a result, we have booming prison populations. Presently, right now, in Hazleton, West Virginia, I was notified by the president there just this week that they have inmates housed in areas of the prisons other than the cells, for which were constructed to keep the inmates locked down. They have them all over the prison, and that is totally unacceptable. That's a recipe for disaster to our staff, and as a Council of Prison Locals president, I won't tolerate that. And I need to bring that awareness to the community at large in that regard, as well as members of Congress, as a result of how they put our staff in dangers when they don't properly fund us.
Eric, to your point, in terms of the overcrowding of prisons, GAO did a study on this, which, of course, you're aware, that essentially said Bureau of Prison Facilities are bursting at the seams. Many people, when they read that, might not think that it really impacts them, but these prison facilities are in communities across the country. Can you talk about the community safety issue of Bureau of Prisons facilities that are not staffed properly and that are overcrowded?
If only the community would be aware of many of the prison population situations and that are right in their communities, they would be appalled. And they would understand the significance of it. And as I expressed to you before, we had Eric Williams that was murdered up in at one of our facilities in the Northeast region, and he was stabbed over numerous times without proper protective equipment necessary to protect him. Many times our officers are walking around with only the keys and a radio as they're, as they go about trying to fulfill their fiduciary responsibilities. And this is all they have to guard against the most heinous inmates. Let me just put it in short terms how I summarize it for others. You know, as I express to people in the community, there's always a few criminal element in a local community. But once those individuals are picked up by the local authorities, they are dumped into a prison where you have dumped all of the prisons. I often tell people often that the most dangerous neighborhoods are inmate housing units, where you have one officer often observing and supervising 150 inmates to one. And if that is acceptable to them, you know, in their own communities, then their communities are not safe. And I don't believe that they are aware of those things, and I think that they should assist us in ensuring that we have more officers on units that could prevent what we had happen to Eric Williams. Had an officer probably been on that unit with him to be able to respond timely, he probably would not have been murdered. These are the things that my staff are faced, and it is my number one priority to ensure these things are addressed and are fixed. And awareness is also brought to members of Congress, but also the community at large.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're speaking with Eric Young, the president of AFGE's Council of Prison Locals. Eric, if you could, take us through a day in the life of a correctional officer. What is it like to be inside that facility dealing with those inmates day in and day out? How does the day start, and how does it end?
Well, the day starts with an officer coming through a metal detector and being treated like an inmate and visitors, not as a law enforcement officer. And often the Bureau of Prisons call us as non-inmates. They refer to us as non-inmates. That is unacceptable. But after clearing through a metal detector like visitors and inmates, we have to go up to supervise the most dangerous, heinous individuals you've ever can imagine that has been placed inside prisons. You're talking about gang leaders. You're talking about terrorists. You're talking about mobsters. You're talking about every criminal element that you could ever think of in one place, in one housing unit. When you're walking in a housing unit and see over 150 eyes watching you until you go to change your equipment with the relieving officer, it is something that puts chills down your back. I don't care how many times you do it. This is something that we have to deal with often. And if people want to know the significance of it, all I could tell you is that we have an average age for correctional officers that live up to age 57. That is what the significance and the stress level is like working inside of a prison. And if anyone thinks that that is something that anyone can do, I would just imagine them request that they just take a visit to their nearest federal facility and see what every day our workers have to go through.
Eric, you yourself are a correctional officer. You've also served in the U.S. Army during the Gulf War. Talk to me about the sense of commitment and pride and fellowship that you and your fellow correctional workers feel for one another.
Well, we have a camaraderie. The Bureau of Prisons is a paramilitary agency. At least that's what I thought when I was hired. I've done everything in my power to ensure that we are a paramilitary agency and that we're treated like law enforcement officers that we are. I like camaraderie, and I believe that most of my peers really love and care for each other. And, you know, as in the military, it was a camaraderie there. And we're all on the front lines. I'm on the front lines right now, holding the lines with my local leaders out there who have been assaulted every day. And as I expressed to them, we don't have time for fighting each other. We have to keep our eyes on the ball, which is the front lines. And at the moment we take our eyes off, someone don't go home at the end of the day. And that is my focus, and that is my goal, to try to bring unity back to our organization so we could focus on more important things to ensure people are able to go home to their families each evening. So that's the way I feel about the responsibilities that I have that's been vested to me and by the delegates this past week.
Eric, as the council president, do you see maybe one or two or more immediate fixes that the Bureau could take or that Congress could take that could alleviate some of these problems in the short term right now today?
Yes, funding and more funding. The more money that we have to keep the facilities up and running, and the more programs we're able to give to the inmates to keep them from being idle, and also able to get them rehabilitated so they could be reacclimated back into society like the prisons was actually built for, and we get our mindset back on rehabilitation of these inmates, we could probably be in a better situation than where we are. Right now, it seems to be the primary goal for members of Congress to obtain stock options because prisons right now are on the New York Stock Exchange, and it seems to be more of a concern of them to invest in keeping people in prisons than letting them out. And this is the problem that we have with private prisons popping up everywhere. Just read a news article yesterday that California just gave $1 billion to a private prison to take on some of its inmates. And if we are all in the business of just housing inmates away and forgetting about them, and instead of focusing on rehabilitation, we're going to have a major problem in this country. So funding is the number one issue that I believe that we have concerns with. If you give us funding, we could get the proper safety equipment. If you give us funding, we could build the necessary prisons to actually house these inmates instead of housing them in rec rooms and Unicorn factories and lieutenants holding cells. You know, those are not places where inmates were told that they would be housed to focus on their rehabilitation. So funding is primarily the number one thing that I believe we need at the present moment.
Eric, as we close out here, what's the morale of your members these days?
Very low. Presently, we had the Bureau of Prisons to issue random pat searching on our staff. What message does that send to my members? That someone obviously care more about them instead of the inmates who are continuously assaulting them every day. I think the mindset of those who impose those new regulations on our staff is something that needs to be revisited. I'm doing my best to try to talk with our Bureau of Prisons director and see if we could change those things and get the mindset more so back on safety and security of the institution.
Eric Young, the president of AFGE's Council of Prison Locals. Eric, great having you on the program today. Thanks for coming by and joining us.
It's my pleasure.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll discuss efforts to end workplace discrimination with AFGE GSA Local 2275 President John Garvey.